We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Turn to Matthew chapter 7 is where we'll be at in our text this morning. Matthew chapter 7. Mythbusters, week 2. We are debunking lies, debunking untruths and things that we have heard, picked up along the way somehow or another, and have believed them as Bible fact. And so we've now in week number 2 of this, talking about things we think God said, right? But he never really said that. There's a lot of things that we chalk up to cleanliness is next to godliness. You know, it doesn't matter what I do as long as I don't hurt anybody. Have you heard that? I mean, that's said many different times, and God helps those who help themselves. Sounds good. It's got God in it, so it must be in the Bible, right? It says God, so God didn't say that. You know who said that? Benjamin Franklin said that. You're not going to find it there in the Bible. People say this, right? Well, our loss, heaven has a new angel. Oh, so great. I'm going to mess with your theology this morning. I know he or she has passed away, but oh, God has a new angel up in heaven. It'll shock you. God never said that. That's not in the Bible. That's not that God doesn't have another angel up in heaven because someone has passed away. Grandma, she's floating up in heaven with the clouds now, floating up with the angels. Some of you look shocked. I know it's terrible. Listen, God never said that. God never said we were going to become angels. First of all, angels don't float, right? Secondly, we don't become angels. Nobody becomes an angel. You're either redeemed by the grace of God or you're not. Yet, all of these many things we hear and so much more, we could talk about so many different things that the Hallmark Channel says that sounds really great, or that we picked up some pithy one-liner somewhere that just sounds like it makes me feel good just to think about it, just to say it. I just feel warm and gooey inside. It's got to be true. The truth of the matter is we build our belief system around things that we've heard, and many times we fail to check it with the Bible, to check to see what God's Word has to say about this very thing. And so if you're keeping notes with me, before we read our text, I want you to write this down here. Wrong beliefs lead to bad decisions, which lead to big regret, right? Wrong beliefs lead to bad decisions, which lead to big regret. When I believe something, even though I know it's not true, if I believe something and know it's not true, I will act on what I believe, even if I know that it's not true. And that cannot help but lead me to a point of big regret. And the wrong belief in all of this, when we say this very thing, this myth here that we're talking about this morning, it doesn't matter what I believe as long as I'm sincere. It doesn't really matter. We're all basically heading the same direction. Everyone that calls themselves a Christian, we're all heading the same direction, and they're really sincere, and they're really good people, and they really they're just great, and they're just some of the most sincere people. They must be so wonderful. But the bad decision in that wrong belief is that I, in essence, choose me over Jesus, right? Because Jesus now has to become what I want him to become instead of me becoming what it is that God wants me to become. And so now Jesus has to keep up with 7 billion people becoming whatever it is that they sincerely want him to be. Now, does that make any sense? It doesn't. Wrong beliefs lead to bad decision, which lead to a big regret. It's not about having a good feeling. It's not about, it's just going to be great. I just know it. I just have this feeling in my bones. I just know it. You write this down. Good feelings are not a valid test for truth. They're just not. Having a good feeling. You can have a really good feeling getting on Highway 19 heading north and say, I'm really excited about going to Miami. I'm so excited. this is going to be the greatest thing ever. But if you know geography, and it sounds like half of you do by your laughter, Miami's the opposite way. I've got a really good feeling about this. We're going to have a great time in Miami. And you're in for a rude awakening when you see, welcome to Georgia, right? You've had that feeling going down the road, not wanting to admit that you made a mistake. Everyone's looking at their spouse right now. We can be sincere about something and be sincerely wrong. We can have a good feeling about something that's a false report. If I was to say everybody that came in the building this morning, I would say everybody that came in today is getting $100. Oh, yeah, that's good preaching. He's preaching every week, that guy. You got a good feeling, but you know what? That would be a good feeling on a false report, right? He can't preach every week now. He lied up in the pulpit. You can have a bad feeling based off of a true report, such as you are not getting $100. You know, there's only one test for truth, and it's not sincerity. It's not our feelings. It's not about how good we feel. There's only one test for truth, and it's Jesus Christ. There's only one source for that truth, and it's the Word of God, a more sure word than our feelings, our fickle feelings. Look at Matthew chapter number 7. I'm going to read the verses, and then I'll give you some context. Most of you are probably very familiar with this passage. You've probably heard it. Even if you're not in church very much, you've probably heard about the person building their house upon sinking sand or building their house upon a sure foundation. Jesus, in the very words of Jesus, as a part of this Sermon on the Mount, in verse number 24 of Matthew chapter number 7, Jesus says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon what? It was a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the same thing happened. The rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. This passage, and really the two chapters prior to that, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, is the famous Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus' declaration of what his ministry is to all be about, and really to us, it's as a believer how we are supposed to be living the kingdom life, how we are supposed to be conducting ourselves, the attitudes that we are to be having, the mindset that needs to change. Understanding what the Christian life is all about is unpacked in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I love studying that, working through that with people. You want to find a snapshot of the Christian life, you just read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Read it again and again and again. It'll tell you how to live your life. Once he ends here in Matthew chapter number 7, he's ending his sermon. He's ending his time. And a sermon, as it comes to a decision point, as it comes to a conclusion, should take us to a decision point of choosing which way we're going to go, of what decision is going to be made. And there are several illustrations, word pictures that Jesus gives. Many of them are going to be familiar to you. He said there are two gates. There's a wide gate, a straight gate. There's two ways, a broad way and a narrow way. There's two trees, fruitful and barren. There's two builders we looked at, one's wise and one's foolish. There's two foundations, one is rock and the other one is sand. And there's two results, eternal life and eternal destruction. He's talking about living our life, and he's talking about choosing what we choose to believe in and choosing who we choose to follow. And he ends his sermon after he said, this is the attitude you're supposed to have, this is the way you're supposed to be thinking, this is the way you're supposed to be living, and he ends and says, there's all kinds of different ways you can build a house, there's all kinds of different ways you can build a life, but ultimately there's only two. There's all kinds of ways that you can develop a religious system, but in the end of the day, there's only two. You can build your house on rock, or you build your house on sand. You can build the very essence of who you are. See, sincerity has nothing to do with authenticity, right? It has nothing to do with accuracy. So if you're keeping notes with me, I want you to write this down, Roman number one. There's only one correct choice to be made. There's no multiple choice. There's no short answer, no essay question. There's two questions, A or B, on or off, black or white. It's two questions, two decisions rather. Only one correct answer. In order to really appreciate the gravity of what it is that Jesus is saying here in this moment as he's leading us in leading the listeners to a point of decision, I have to make a decision as to what I'm going to follow and how I'm going to build my life, if I'm going to base it off of a timeless, rock-hard principle of God's word, or if I'm going to base it upon the shifting sands of this world. Look at verse number 21, as he gives us, really, as we understand the gravity as to why it's so important to make this decision. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, he says in verse 21, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many have that word circled in my Bible. This verse, read it multiple times throughout a given year, and it always gives me great pause, and I hope it gives you pause this morning. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and cast out devils in thy name and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, if I understand this right, there's going to be people who have made a profession of faith, who have said that they believe in Christ, and even said they've done good works and ministered on his behalf, that are not going to go to heaven. Is that how you read that? That's how I read that. So, going with sincerity at this particular juncture of deciding where what I'm going to believe and what I'm going to put my faith and trust and my hope in is a really big gamble, considering most everybody else that makes this decision. Verse number 22, that first word, I had you circled, I told you circled, many, many. I want you to notate this, if you would. The instruction that God gives here is very clear. The instruction that God gives to these that are building their house, the instruction that he gives to us there in his word is very clear. Both people hear what Jesus is saying. You can see in verse 24 and in 26, they've heard the word. They've heard what it is that Jesus has said, and then they've gone and built the house themselves. You can hear a message. You can know the truth about salvation. You can know the truth about what God says. You can sit and listen to preaching. You can sit and listen to teaching, and then still build your house in such a way to cause much havoc, to cause much ruin, to cause much regret. God's instruction has been given plainly, and it's for us to obey. It's for us to apply to our very heart. When God's instruction is given, it's not for us to argue with. It's not for us to say, yeah, but a house on the beach would look so great. And God's like, that's a bad idea. To build your life upon the shifting sands of this world, it doesn't matter how good it looks. There's only one correct choice to be made, and that's following God's word. I like what Martin Luther said. He said, feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. But truth is found in the word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. Amen. You like that? Oh, I love that. Nothing else is worth believing. It doesn't matter how pretty the house looks. It doesn't matter how pretty the frame is. If God's instruction has been spoken and has been given to us, what are we supposed to do? We are to be listening and obeying. But here's where the breakdown comes. God's word has been handed down from generation to generation. I'm so thankful for my parents and thankful for other people who witnessed to my parents so that I could have a chance to be influenced by God's word that has been handed down again and again and again. God's instruction is clear, but here's the problem. Our hearing is really selective. You know anybody with selective hearing? They're in your house, probably, right? Selective hearing is something that we hear what we want to hear. And we want to give guys a hard time about this, but aren't we all, especially when it comes to God's word, right? Really very selective in what we want to hear or what we choose to obey. Have you ever had somebody tell you something and you thought you knew what they said, only to find out later that's not what they said at all? No? I said, have you ever had somebody tell you something that you thought you knew what they said, only to find out later that's not what they said at all? Did you raise your hand? If you've been married more than 5 minutes and you don't raise your hand right now, you're a liar, right? I mean, come on. That's not what that text meant at all. That's not what I was trying to say at all. How you know, I wonder with God, he must be like, that's not what I said at all. God must look, I gave you, look at that big old book. I gave you that whole thing. That's not what I said at all. Goodness gracious. How frustrated we get with other people. Can you imagine how frustrated, I mean, God must, oh man. Listen to this. Selective hearing, by definition, is the quality one possesses when they only hear what they want to hear, and or they were not listening completely, and or they were distracted. The definition goes on to say the ability that humans have, especially males, sorry men, I read it right out of the medical journal here, to hear selectively only what serves their interest and being conveniently deaf to what they don't like or cannot use. What'd you say? I didn't hear you call me. I didn't hear that at all. The quality one possesses, and you know, you've already employed it here this morning. So I go back to the beginning, when we only hear what we want to hear, when we're not listening completely, or we're distracted. I mean, we sit in a message every week of the world, right? Multiple times many throughout the week, some of you are very spiritual people, and we hear these messages, and only, you know, what's for lunch, and who are the Bucks playing, and how's this happen? We've all done it, haven't we? We're going to be responsible one day for the things that we should be knowing in the Word of God. We should be listening. We should be receiving. The wise man builds his house or his life on the sayings of Christ, while the foolish man thinks. He thinks that while he heard the same message, he heard the same thing, and because I've heard the same thing and I'm building my house next to this other guy, and our houses look great. Matter of fact, mine even looks better. I got some extra granite countertops, some crown molding. This is really good. He didn't have that. I got that, but you know. We build our houses, and you find out when the storms of life come where their hope is really anchored. You see what really transpires. How in the world is it that two people can grow up in the same house with the same parents, go to the same school, get the same education, get the same everything, and one choose Christ and one not? Understand? I mean, one chooses, I'm going to build my life upon Christ, and the other one says, I think my house would look better over here. There's only one decision to be made. The foolish man doesn't intend to build his life in such a way that it wreaks havoc. He's extremely sincere, passionate about this building this life, passionate about this endeavor. But he fails because he doesn't follow God's word, underestimates the importance of following the right plan. Which leads me to this. The result is not noticeable from the outside. Kind of already leaned into it and touched it a little bit. These two houses look good. One lasts and one doesn't. One is on solid ground and the other is on sandy ground. I saw a commercial some time ago, and in putting this together, the Lord brought it to my mind of how we can build our life on things that look very good from the outside, but on the inside, we're wondering how long we can keep this charade going. How long can I keep the mask up? How long can I keep faking it? I want you to watch this clip.
I'm Stanley Johnson. I've got a great family. I've got a 4-bedroom house in a great community. Like my car? It's new. I even belong to the local golf club. How do I do it? I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. I can barely pay my finance charges. Somebody help me.
Now, I wonder, does that commercial describe you? And I'm not talking about financial, but looking good from the outside, all the while internally, pleading, somebody help me. I've built this life, these kids, and I've built this, and somebody help me. I don't know what to do. I've got this whole thing, this whole charade, and if I come out now, they'll know it was all a sham. So I'm just going to keep it up. Somebody help me. Oh, from the outside, boy, that house looks amazing. But we live in it and we know it's not so amazing. We can't sleep at night. We know our house is built upon facades. So the contrast between these believers, or these builders rather, one man built his house to withstand the harsh conditions of this life, and the other one on the shifting sand of man's sincerity. Someone once said, or John MacArthur actually said, to build our house, our life, our belief system on sand is to build on self-will, self-fulfillment, self-purpose, self-sufficiency, self-satisfaction, and self-righteousness. To build our life upon me. Sand, or sincerity, composed of human opinions and attitudes and philosophy. Well, they look good. We have these benevolent things we do and give some money to a person on the side of the road or give to this cause. I gave a dollar to help Ronald McDonald's house. I feel really good. But as you look deeper, you see a smokescreen, a facade, a prop, like a Hollywood prop. You walk in the door and you see there's 2x4s holding up the facade, and it looks good from the onset, from the outset, but when you walk in, trouble. You see, the reality is this. I hope you grasp this morning. One man made his decision based on truth, and he experienced relief when the storms of life came. Whereas the other man made his decision based on sincerity, upon feelings, upon wants, upon desires, and he experienced ruin. And that's the choice before the house here today. It's am I going to experience relief? Am I going to pull the hard work in, experience relief, or am I going to experience ruin? Verse 25, the first house, he says, fell not. And in verse number 27, the second fell, and great was the fall of it. John 12:48, Jesus says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him in the last day. There will be a reckoning. There will be an answering. There will be a moment our works will be known. So what's your life built upon? What is your belief system built upon? What is your understanding of the Lord and the Scriptures built upon? Is it on land or sand? Right? Decision's yours. And I know you talk to many people like, I don't want to make that decision right now. Too busy having fun, too busy this or too busy that. And you know as well as I do, not making a decision is just the same as making a decision. You've made the decision to wait, to hit the spiritual snooze button. What a dangerous thing that is. There are so many examples of people in the Bible who walked with their sincerity all the way to hell. You can go all the way back to the beginning. The life of Cain. Life of Cain said, I'll worship the way I want to. I'll give how I want to. I'll do what I want. The Tower of Babel, we'll attain to God's realm. That's what we believe. We're going to make that happen. Men of Noah's day, right? It was the anything goes philosophy. Boy, I just got wicked and wicked and wicked. The Pharisees, so self-righteous. I'll make my own rules. I'll make my own statutes, my own things, and feel really good about checking them all off. The rich young ruler. I'll be good enough on my own. I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and I do that. And when Jesus told him exactly what he needed to do, you know what the word says, don't you? That he went away sad. I'm not willing to tear down this house built on sand because it's really pretty. I'm not going to tear down my life. I'm not going to give it to the poor. I'm not going to give those things. And so he went away sad. The multitudes of people that Jesus preached to, again and again and again, he would preach to them. And after he got done preaching, the pastor pointed this out some time ago in a message, and I've never forgot it. And it's multiple times throughout the Gospels as you read, as he presents the gospel, as he presents himself, as he gives a sermon or he gives some type of dissertation of some kind or some type of teaching, And they'll say just this in verse number 28. You see it? Verse number 28. And it came to pass, Jesus had just got done preaching, and he ended these sayings. And you know what happened? Everybody got saved and baptized, became a missionary. Their life completely changed. They're like, man, Jesus, that's what I need to do. I'm going to build my life upon the rock. That's what I'm going to do. But that's not what he said. Well, that's not what the scripture records. The people were astonished at his doctrine. They were amazed, but unchanged. Oh, Pastor, that was a good sermon. I wonder what's for lunch. Guilty? Yeah, that was, oh boy, that was really great. I even came forward and shed a couple of tears. So what's it going to be? Building our life upon sinking sand, ceremonies, feelings, rituals, or upon the timeless word of God? You know, nothing else in this life would we trust somebody's sincerity on. If a doctor's coming in to cut on you and say, yeah, I saw a YouTube video, and I really think we can do this. We can save you some money. We can make this happen. Anybody wanting that to happen? Listen, I'll do a heart transplant. I saw this documentary on Discovery Channel. This is going to be great. You ever watched one of those HGTV shows and thought, I can do this project? This would be easy. I can do that. Pilot come out. I've never flown before, but I've played a lot of Nintendo. Spent some time with that new Xbox contraption, and this is going to be great. We're going to have fun. So why would we trust our eternal security, our eternal destiny, on our feelings, on what we think? It doesn't even make sense, does it? It doesn't even make sense. So here's the reality. The choice is yours to make. It's ours. I mean, what choice are you going to make? Is it going to be sincerity or the Savior? Really boils down to that. When I say it doesn't matter what I believe as long as I'm sincere, I'm saying that I really believe that all religions are basically headed the same way. We all kind of believe the same thing. We all worship the same God. You've talked to people like that before. Maybe you've thought that before. Like, hey, they pray to Allah, but you know, they just call him Allah, but he's really God, you know. They pray to Mary, but you know, they really believe. We all believe the same thing. You know, let's just big hug. You know, the details don't really matter. It's just about your heart, you know. And if you give yourself to a higher power, to the man upstairs, then boy, you're okay. Surely you've heard that, but are we all going the same way? I've got a couple of pictures here that we'll talk about. Buddhism. Is Buddhism the same way as God's way? Buddhism believes that there is no God. There's no final place of rest. This belief teaches us that we're supposed to deny and deny and deny and deny and deny ourselves until at some point we reach this perfected state of nirvana, where we essentially walk around like zombies. And we really just have this unconscious state of nothingness. I don't care about much, but I just have rest in my soul. And that's Buddhism. There's Hinduism. Believes in an impersonal God, a God that you can't really know, but you worship this being through family deities and idols. Buddhism and Hinduism are the same in that they offer no forgiveness of sins. Are we all headed the same way? Islam believes in one God, Allah. They do not believe in idols. They believe that the forgiveness of your sin is completely dependent upon your devotion to Allah. You have to prove yourself. Mormonism. Oh. You ever had those guys? They're popular. You know, they put out great commercials. Oh, man. They believe in family values. You start watching a commercial and you're like, wow, who put that out? Values and things that have been lost in today's culture. But is Mormonism and following Jesus the same thing? Mormons believe that Jesus was a God, little g, but he was not a God. He's not the God. He's not certainly not the Son of God. Jehovah's Witness, maybe you've got one of these on your door. By the way, isn't it a shame that they can propagate more for their cause than we can ours? Just leave that there. Jehovah's Witness, they believe Jesus was Michael the Archangel. Right? Not the Son of God, not the Savior of the world. They essentially believe you can reach this higher state of consciousness and become one with the earth, one with your surroundings, but they offer no forgiveness of sins. You don't need forgiveness of sins because, after all, you're a god. You can attain to your own planet, have your own realm, do your own thing. By the way, I'm not making any of this. You can study all this out for yourself, and this is just a few of them. You can research these and find this out. If you were to summarize all of these religions and more, except Christianity, you would see that they are all based upon the effort of the individual. They're all based on the effort of what one does. It does. It all hinges on their effort. You never know if you're there. You never know if you've arrived. You never have this assurance. It's totally on your effort and sincerity. So what are we to do? The decision is yours. Scripture is very plain that we need to believe on His word. Believe in His word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Believe His word. Don't believe something just because it sounds good. Believe it because it's biblical. Believe it because the timeless principles and verses within God's word have communicated that it's real, that it's true, that it's authentic. Believe His word. Let her be. Accept His way. There is no other way. You can choose to go His way or you can choose not. We live in this pluralistic, postmodern era where people, it just doesn't matter what you believe. Just keep it to yourself. Keep it private. Be sincere. Be a good person. But let's be very clear that it does matter who you believe. It does matter what you believe about the Scriptures. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, in other words, verily, verily, I say unto you, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he goes on to tell his disciples that I am going away. And they said, we want to go the way that you're going. He says, you can't go that way. He says, well, how do we know the way? And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus. Jesus is the only way that you have peace in your heart. Jesus is the only way that you're sincere. Jesus is the only way that you can worship God. Jesus is the only answer for mankind. He is the only one that can give you hope, that can give you guidance, that can give you a new way. What do you have to do? You say, well, I'll call out to Him. Well, the Scripture tells us that we're supposed to call out to Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you know, it's more than just saying a prayer. It's more than just saying something. It's more than just echoing that. That's another myth. I can just come in here and just say this little prayer and then go live like the devil and do whatever I want to do. That's another myth. I've got to accept His way. Believe in my heart that God hath raised Him from the dead and I can be saved. The choice, though, is yours and it's mine. When I say it doesn't matter what I believe, as long as I'm sincere, it really boils down to this. I'm telling God that He's got to become whatever I want Him to be instead of me becoming what He wants me to be. That's in essence what it's doing, right? God exists to serve me. And His role in this relationship is to cater to my thoughts and to be who I want Him to be. But ladies and gentlemen, that is a myth. And it's not true. The only thing that's true is the timeless principles here within God's word. His word is truth. I'm going to tell you this, a belief, no matter how sincere, if not reflected in truth, isn't a belief at all. It's a delusion. Yeah. Don't buy into the delusion. Don't buy into the myth. Choose to follow Him today and build your life on the rock that is God's word. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me?
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.